I am a child welfare researcher from University of Southern California. I'm a nurse by background. I teach at a school of social work, and I've been doing research about medical health of children in the child welfare system in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is one of the largest child welfare systems in the United States. About 4% of the children in child welfare are in Los Angeles County alone, in all of the United States. So it's a very good place to do research. And I'm looking at, for this study, the access to care for that population. We think a lot that when kids enter the child welfare system in the United States, they get Medicaid. In Los Angeles, in California, it's called Medi-Cal, and we assume that they can get services, but the point is that many of them do not, and that's what I was looking at. So there are around 800,000 children in the child welfare system, and there's been a lot of research about the health of foster children, specifically not necessarily children who are in family maintenance with their birth parents, but most of the research is on the foster care population, and they have 60% of them have chronic medical conditions, 25% have three or more chronic medical problems. Yet, there's much research about the fact that foster children do not have adequate health care. With the Adoption and Safe Families Act of 1997, it expanded child preservation services. And with that, many more children are being kept with their birth parents. And we have not really looked at how those children are faring in terms of health care. The other thing that I looked at is much of the research has been done on either the child welfare system, what caseworkers can do to increase health care, or what pediatricians can do. So there are pediatricians who are doing research about how they can improve the care, and child welfare researchers. We're just beginning to look at what the caregiver's role in this. They are the actual people, the gatekeepers, who take the child to the doctor and follow the instructions of the doctor. So I've been looking at and I'm continuing to look at what their role in assuring the health care of children. There was a recent research study in child welfare by Pastor that was the first research study that actually looked at what child welfare caregivers thought in terms of their access to both pediatric health care and mental health care. And they found barriers such as difficulty in transportation and difficulty understanding doctor's orders, those kinds of things as being significant. And there are no studies thus far on access barriers for birth parents. The goals of this study is to examine the barriers caregivers report to accessing pediatric health care for children in the child welfare system and determine if there are differences in access barriers based on caregiver type, birth parent, related foster parent, and unrelated foster parent. In Los Angeles, we have a series of hubs, and they are medical clinics that are specific for doing the initial pediatric exam for children entering the child welfare system. There are 7 hubs in Los Angeles, 2 of whom are actually medical homes. So they not only do the initial medical exam, but they also do primary care for those kids. One of them is the community-based assessment and treatment clinic called CATCH, where I did this study, and it is in East Los Angeles next to our Los Angeles County, our large medical center. I did a 20-minute interview in either Spanish or English in the waiting room. They have, unfortunately, long waits in the waiting room to get services, and they were awarded a $20 gift certificate. They were eligible if the caregiver was greater than 18 years old and the child had received care previous to CATCH. What I was doing actually is looking at the barriers that the caregiver had before they entered the hub system. We had 237 subjects, and we collected the data between July and November of 2006. I used a survey tool by Glenn Flores, who is now in Madison, Wisconsin. He did use this tool in Boston to survey Latino parents. It has since been used with non-Latino subjects, and he identified 10 common access barriers, and these are them, for parents of children. And we use the same tool. We got permission to adapt it to a child welfare population, and in doing so, I asked questions about the type of caregiver and some other child welfare information. This is a sample item from the 72-question survey, and all the questions are before coming to the CATCH clinic or before coming to wherever they were. I found it hard to bring my child in for medical care because the doctor's hours weren't always at times when I was working, and I couldn't take off time off work. And it's a Likert 5-point scale. I use general linear models to evaluate the associations between caregiver type and access to care barriers. And I, in the multiple regression models, I controlled for child's age, caregiver ethnicity, citizenship, etc. Who were these caregivers I surveyed? 28% were birth parents, 25% related caregivers, and 46% unrelated. The related and unrelated children were in foster care. The birth parents' children were in family maintenance. They were primarily female Latinos or Latinas. The average age of the child was 6.4 years. One of the interesting findings was that 86% of the caregivers, and there was no difference between type of caregiver, rated their child's health good, very good, or excellent. And this is contrary to all the data about actually what is happening in terms of the health of this population. They also had, most of them had a regular physician, and 83% noted their vaccinations were up to date. Some significant differences in caregiver types. As would be expected, the birth parents were younger, less likely in Los Angeles to hold U.S. citizenship, less likely to have a college education, and had a lower income. Unrelated caregivers were more likely to be married, have more children in the house, and less likely to be up to date in their vaccinations. Although in looking at that, anecdotal evidence noted that actually the caregivers that were unrelated had just gotten the children, so the vaccinations were beginning to get up to date. The lower the number, the higher the access barrier. So the greatest access barrier for all the caregivers was difficulty understanding doctor's explanations. Second was wait too long to see a doctor, and clinic hours inconvenient were the highest barriers for caregivers in the child welfare system. There were some differences by types. Transportation was a greater barrier for birth parents and family maintenance than unrelated or related foster caregivers. And the unrelated caregivers thought the clinic hours inconvenient. Inconvenience was a greatest barrier for them. There were some other interesting findings in terms of form, the language of the form. We had both Spanish and English forms available. We actually asked the questions, but we used different forms and asked them either in Spanish or English. All the caregivers either spoke Spanish or English. For the Spanish individuals, they rated these rudeness of staff, too far away, and wait too long to see a doctor less of a barrier than English-speaking clients. There were some limitations because even though this tool by Dr. Flores has been used quite a bit, there is no reliability or validity data on it. And because it was a cross-sectional sample, you can't really generalize other than to the individuals we saw. And we interviewed caregivers who were actually at an appointment. Probably it would have been much better to interview people who had not gotten access to care, because that's what we were looking at. And caregivers were asked to describe prior experiences. So the greatest barrier for both English and Spanish speaking caregivers was difficulty understanding doctors' explanation, which is really significant because these kids have so many chronic illnesses and the medications they're on, when to call back if there's something wrong with it, you know, when to make the next appointment, all those kinds of things parents really had difficulty understanding, and because the communication was so poor, even though there are so many pediatricians in Los Angeles who speak Spanish or are Latino themselves, it's still very difficult for these caregivers who are caring for these sick children to actually understand what they're supposed to do to care for them. The other issue, about 94% of the caregivers reported health care coverage, and there was no difference across the board. There have been other studies that show that children before they enter foster care have much less health care coverage, but in this case that wasn't the case. 94% of the caregivers reported health care coverage, but they still had tremendous barriers in terms of accessing. Most of the literature about access to care talks primarily about health care insurance, and that isn't a problem for this population. And there were different medical care expectations for the English and Spanish-speaking caregivers. Spanish-speaking caregivers were less concerned about inconvenience of the medical care. And it may be partly to do with the idea of respecting the physician as being important and not complaining. Based on the demographic differences of the caregiver groups, probably the biggest group for child welfare caseworkers to impact, to actually help, would be the birth parents. The birth parents had more difficulty, especially in terms of transportation. They had less income. Their kids were equally as sick. There have been studies that show, there's a study by Leslie that looked in San Diego of those children entering the child welfare system, differences between health care problems, developmental problems, and psychological problems of young children. And there was no difference if you were going into foster care or you were staying home with your parents. So this is a particularly significant group to actually target in terms of improving the health care. Because caregivers have unrealistically high perceptions of the health status of their children, we have to be even more careful with those caregivers, because there's also a lot of literature that says that if you think your child's health is bad or serious, there are serious problems, you're more likely to follow the doctor's orders. So if you think your child is healthy, it's much more likely these caregivers will miss appointments, will not give medications, and those kinds of things. These are some of the references I use. This study is been submitted to Child Welfare. It's been 7 months, but I haven't heard from them yet. I'm sure you're all sympathetic to me. So hopefully it'll be published there. And there are other studies that are I'm doing another presentation on limited English proficiency and access care barriers tomorrow. So if you're interested in this topic, please attend. Thanks so very much.